Thank you, brothers and sisters. Lord, we are gathered together in your name. Lord, we thank you for our brother Jay's word on unity. And Lord, you have provided everything. Just as at that breakfast on the beach, Lord, you provided everything. You already had fish and bread, and you gave them the fish to bring. Lord, you are all in all, and we thank you and praise you. Lord, we desire to for you to give us light and understanding of your intent in the word and of the truth in your word. And we thank you that these are words of life and they are words of power. Lord, you have all these things in your hand, and you are absolutely trustworthy. In your name, Lord, we do lift this time up to you. Amen. Last week, I shared what I think I called observations in Revelation, scriptural observations. I'm not trying to look at this on a word-for-word basis. I'm not trying to I'm particularly trying to avoid the ticklish spots, as Ed calls the spiritual honey that's sticky, sweet but sticky. Some of these are not so sweet and sticky. But the point is, I was interested and I felt led to look at some of the, I guess we'll call it the midsection of Revelation, chapter 12 through 16. And I want you to be encouraged. I believe the Lord would have us to be encouraged by the words that he shares here, not confused, I'm particularly trying to stay away from proving things or getting into things that are, many people have spent many years trying to explain or understand, and I don't know that anybody knows. I know I don't, so I'm not going to tell you anything I know. But what I do want to point out is what is clear in the scripture here. And as I mentioned, there will be signs. In chapter 12, if you look at chapter 12, let me back up a second. What I want to get to, the encouragement that I want to get to, is what does all this mean to us at Family Ministries, to those who are believers in this day and age? What does it mean to us? And I believe to try to answer the question, give an indication of what the bride is doing to make herself ready. We are the bride. The scripture is very clear about that. We are the bride of Christ. The church is the bride of Christ. And there will be a marriage. There will be a marriage supper. Brothers have shared on that. The point is, if you don't get caught up in all of the events and the things that are happening in there, we can see what is the church doing. Now, realize that the book, I made a point last week to say that titles and headings that are listed in Scripture are commentary. They are not Scripture. And I don't know. I didn't spend the time. I didn't do donkey work on Revelation. But I don't know what. Does anybody know what the original title was? Was there a title? I don't know. But we call it the Revelation of Christ. And I I agree with that. The revelation is a revelation of our Lord Jesus. What did John call it? I don't know. But in any event, the point is, what is the Lord doing? That's the point of revelation. A subheading under that is, what is our response? What is he calling us to do? What should we be seeing? What will we be seeing? What are we seeing? And, let me stop there. One of the things that I pointed out last time is there are a number of signs that appear, and there are characters that appear in the scripture, beginning in chapter 12, the sign of the woman, the sign of the red dragon, the male child, she gave the child that was born to the woman. There's war in heaven. And I want to read this again, chapter 12 and verse 9. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Verse 10, then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, he who accuses them before God day and night. Hallelujah. This is the result of the war in heaven. And again, timing and how the book is laid out, is it sequential? Has this happened or is it still happening? I'm not trying to convince you one way or the other. I'm not sure I understand it. I'm a little bit confused on that. But I do know that Satan has been thrown down to the earth. And the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. We are witnesses and we are a testimony to that. We have unity that Brother Jay's talking about because of what he has done. His power, his authority. And it goes on to say, after that Satan has been thrown down and he is the accuser of the brethren. He is a liar, and he accuses those who are clean by the Lord Jesus Christ. His desire is to upset our faith, to test us. It's not his idea to test us. His idea is to drive us to failure. He wants us to try to do it on our own. Because he knows we can't. And by faith, we can know we can't. And it's okay that we can't. We're not going to get there on our own. If we had to get there on our own, we would be lost. We would be without hope. But we have hope. The accuser of our brethren has been thrown down. He has been thrown out of heaven, thrown down to the earth. He has a short time, it says there at the end of that in verse 12, he is down on the earth woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you having great wrath, knowing that he has only a short time. So things are happening in heaven and on earth in these scriptures, and things are happening in heaven and on earth right now, in 2021. Of course, I don't want to get tied up in time and space and all that stuff. I mean, it's the Lord has it all under control, and that's the point. We can believe that the Lord has it under control. He is responsible. He has taken, he has the authority. He is the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, above every other. So, where do we fit into this? And we have a touch of it here in verse 11 of chapter 12. And they, being the church, that's who has been accused in the previous verse, they overcame him, the enemy, Satan, because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even when faced with death. The bride is making herself ready. The bride is making herself ready by faith in the blood of the Lamb, trusting in Jesus, by living as believers, being in his presence, recognizing who he is. Our lives give off a fragrance to those who don't know him. We are a testimony, and we do not love our life even when faced with death. Only he can accomplish this. Only he can provide for this. All right, I'd like to go on. One of the other things I spoke of, and again, I don't have an understanding of. In chapter 13, it talks about the beast from the sea and the beast from the earth. And I don't understand that. I can't explain that to you. This is here because there will be these things revealed as the end of time comes to be. There will be a beast coming out of the sea there, and given power by the dragon, given authority by the dragon. He is seeking to disrupt all of our faith. And he is trying to overpower the saints and to overcome them, as it says in verse 7 of chapter 13. And authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation was given to him, that is, the beast. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who has been slain. This is a sign that will occur. I don't know how it's going to look. The scripture says he is a beast. I don't know what that means. Is it an animal? Is it a? I mean, he describes him with things of this world, but beyond anything that we've ever seen, that I've ever aware of being seen, heads and so forth and so on. But here's something that we will recognize, and this will come about through both of these beasts and through the image that is raised up. The whole earth was amazed. That's the point. That's what he's there for. He is there to amaze, and followed after the beast, they worshiped the dragon. This is verse 4. Sorry, Peter. They worshiped the dragon because he gave his authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast? Who is able to wage war with him?" And there was given to him a mouth speaking arrogant words and blasphemies and authority to act. Okay, I'm going to stop there because that's one of those touchy areas when you get into all the months and understanding that. The fact is, the beast will, and he will cause the earth to worship the dragon, cause the earth to worship him, and he will speak against God. He will speak blasphemy. He will speak arrogant words. Who is like the beast? Well, the beast is nothing with our Lord. By faith, we will overcome him. All right. There's a lot here that you can look at, and some of it may be confusing and difficult to understand. But again, it is clear that there will be evidence of the enemy seeking to destroy the church, seeking to put men in bondage, forcing them. I mentioned about the mark of the beast. That is, I think, in the next chapter. No, it's here in 13. And it was given to him. Oh, yeah, this is the beast out of the sea. And he in verse 16, and he causes the small and the great and the rich and the poor and free men and the slaves to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. And he provides that no one will be able to buy or sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. Okay. All the earth is going to be forced to accept a mark. I don't know what that is. I know we will know when we are confronted with it. Because we are going to be forced to worship the beast. And we are not. But the world will. Those who are faithful, those who trust in the Lord, the bride who is being prepared, will not worship the beast. And perhaps be put to death. I don't know what that means, not be able to buy or sell. I mean, it sounds like
martyred.
Yeah, we will probably be martyred. Exactly so. But the point is, the Lord Jesus is in control. The Lord Jesus, this is not something that is threatening to heaven. The Lord speaks great words of encouragement here. There is going to be great turmoil. There's going to be tribulation. There's going to be death. There's going to be martyrs. In chapter 14, beginning in verse 6, we have a powerful encouragement. And I saw another angel flying in mid-heaven, having an eternal gospel to preach to those who live on the earth. Hallelujah. And to every nation and tribe and tongue and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and springs of waters." The angel is speaking truth. He is speaking the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is preparing the earth for the separation of the believers and the unbelievers. All men will have an opportunity to repent. He is preaching this gospel. This is not just to the church. This is to all men. And another angel, in verse 8, A second one followed, saying, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, she who made all the nations drink of the wine of the passion of her immorality." Now, I know there's been a lot written about Babylon, and I'm not going to refute or claim, make any claims or anything about that. The fact is, it seems to be a world system that is controlling, and you know, if you consider the world and that we live in, what's the basis of its activity? Fear, power, money, good times, all of these things are the immorality of Babylon. We are being incurred with, we are being drawn in, we are being forced by fear, by intimidation. Satan is intimidating. Men intimidate other men. That's what it's all about, isn't it? How you get along, how you get, you know, nudge yourself past the guy in front of you, or how you kill the guy in front of you, between you and what you think you want in the fleshly terms. So, there is going to be a judgment. And continuing in chapter 14, verse 9, then another angel, a third one, followed them, saying in a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast and his image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he will also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed in full strength to the cup in the cup of his anger. And he will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb." These things will not happen in a closet. We will not. We may be upset by these things, but we are not. We will not be taken without an understanding, without the opportunity for the Lord to open our eyes and to see and to not fall into worship of the system. Now, let me pause there. In chapter 16, John tells us about the temple in heaven has been opened, and the seven angels have come out with seven bowls of the judgment of the earth. And I want to focus on a couple of these things here. The third angel, this is verse 4, the third angel poured out his bowl into the rivers and springs and waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters saying, "Righteous are you who are and who were, O Holy One, because you judge these things. For they poured out the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink. They deserve it." And I heard the altar saying, "Yes, Lord God, the Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. He will judge the earth and all in it." And these bowls are pouring out that judgment and that wrath. In the next couple of verses, the fourth angel poured out his bowl upon the sun, and it was given to it to scorch men with fire. Verse 9, men were scorched with fierce heat, and they blaspheme the name of God, who was the power over these plagues, and they did not repent so as to give him glory. And on to the fifth angel, because I'll come back to the fourth. Poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and the kingdom and his kingdom became darkened, and they gnawed their tongues because of pain. And they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and they did not repent of their deeds. God is doing these things to cleanse the earth, and there is an opportunity for repentance. No one will be able to say that God did not reach out to them. But the key here is they did not repent. If we find ourselves having fear or doubt or concern, we need to repent, and we can repent. God is not, he is not looking He has no desire for anyone to perish, the scripture tells us. And perish they will, those who are judged. There will be an opportunity for us to repent. There'll be an opportunity for us to repent, but until that time, the bride is making herself ready. And in the beginning of chapter 15, it says, "And I saw something like a sea of glass," verse 2, "mixed with fire, and those who had been victorious over the beast and his image and the number of his name standing on the sea of glass, holding harps of God. And they sang the song of Moses, the bondservant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, 'Great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God, the Almighty. Righteous and true are your ways, King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify thy name, your name? For you alone are holy, for all the nations will come and worship before you, and for your righteous acts have been revealed.'" Doesn't that sound like our time of worship? You know, we sing and give testimony to the power of the blood and of the glory and the victory of God that is beyond our understanding. But it is true. By faith we take it. By faith we have a rock to stand on, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He will not waver. He will not turn aside from us. He will not turn aside from judgment either. The saints, the bride, will worship Christ our Lord forever and ever. We have an eternal place in his kingdom. Much will happen. There is a great deal that is frightening. But the Lord has it all in his hand. He is not going to be surprised. And no matter what is said on the earth, no matter whatever form the beast is, I don't know. But the Lord will, he is victorious. He has paid the full and complete price. It's what it's saying here. The earth will be in torment because of its judgment. The Lord has said they will suffer. He has given us the opportunity to be one with him forever and ever. And so let us trust in him. Lord, we are thankful for your kindness, for your love for your people. We ask you, Lord, to walk with us, guide us, help us to have our eyes open and our ears open, that we may know what you're doing in all things, and that we know that we are trusting, we can trust you. We ask you, Lord, to guide us and to walk with us and to show us yourself, that you have the desire to protect your people and to cause us to be strengthened and to overcome that which is evil. We take this as a promise from your heart and your mouth. In your name, Lord, we pray.